Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. And for the next half hour, we're going to be learning about something fascinating, which affects all of us in this area, something we know about. Before we begin our program today, though, I want to thank everyone who participated in our pledge drive. I'm especially grateful for all of you who called in during Talk of Our Towns last week and honored Terry Wilson. That was an amazing program. I was out of town, and I've heard about it, and I'm just thrilled that you honored Terry Wilson, our extraordinary engineer and a true treasure in this community. So thank you so much, and welcome to the Coast Community Radio family. Today, we are talking about the Astoria-Megler Bridge. Things are happening on that bridge. What is happening up there? The Astoria-Megler Bridge is a 4.1-mile steel girder continuous truss bridge, which spans the Columbia River between Astoria, Oregon, and Point Elise near Megler, Washington. It's the longest continuous truss bridge in North America. There are men working on this bridge right now, and I am very fortunate to have in the studio Aaron Whiting. Aaron is a quality control inspector for the contractor doing the bridge work. And the contractors, there are two of them. There's InTech and Bridges R Us. And Aaron has taken a moment out of his busy schedule to be here in the studio. Thank you for being here, Aaron.
My pleasure.
People are really interested in what's going on about what's going on up on the bridge, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's just hear a little bit more about Aaron Whiting. A little bit about yourself, please.
Well, let's see. I'm originally from California. Grew up there in the Bay Area in Northern California, and our family was, we're all industrial painters, going back, starting with my granddad on the Grand Coulee Dam in Grand Coulee, Washington, and he was a paint superintendent up there for his whole life. And then my dad was just kind of worked his way down from there, painting and whatever he could, bridges, tanks, anything industrial, and pipelines and things like that. And that's kind of how me and my brother fell into the trade, I guess. It was kind of a family thing.
Right. And you painted, you told me you painted smaller bridges when you were younger. Sure. And then you've worked on larger bridges. But the Astoria-Megler Bridge is probably the largest one you've worked on.
It is. It's the largest bridge I've ever worked on. So
it's...
And it's the highest.
I know. I was having dinner the other night on one of those hot days we've had, and at the Bridgewater Bistro outside, one of the days you can sit outside, the evenings, and watching a lot of men walking around on what looked like, I don't know, some sort of black netting. Mm-hmm. So I know people are curious about what's going on up there. This project to rehabilitate and repair the bridge and paint it and replace rivets is a $50 million project, which is being funded by the state of Washington and the state of Oregon. What's happening up there, Aaron?
Well, they're up there, and they're removing the old paint that's failing, and they're putting new paint on it. Like you mentioned, they're replacing rivets, you know, so it's structurally, you know, sound. And the paint, it's kind of neat that actually, you know, I don't get too much detail about it, but the paint that they put on there is it's actually a sacrificial paint, and it gives itself up to save the metal that's underneath. So it's a zinc that we put on there, and instead of the metal itself corroding, that zinc that we put on there will corrode instead. And then when it's finally it's served its life, then they'll blast it off and put more on there.
That's interesting, because I imagine that there are new things happening all the time. I think the last time the bridge was painted was in 1980 or something, and I did a little research on the internet, and yes, it's the 1980s, and that was the last time. And so this is about a four to five year project, mm-hmm. painting and replacing all these rivets and everything. How many men are working up there, men and women, actually?
There is probably at this point 30, 35 people on site up there working. And they do. They have some women that are flaggers up there, flagging the traffic. And when I worked on the north end, we We had at one time probably 5 or 6 women up there that were actually painting. They were striping and painting the rivets with brushes and stuff. So, and to be honest with you, 2 of them were the best painters they had up there.
All right. Yes, women's lib. Okay, so the north end of the bridge work is pretty much completed, the Washington side.
Pretty much. They're just doing probably a couple of weeks of touch-ups and final inspections, and they should be done.
And now we're focusing on the Oregon side. And what are we seeing when we look up at the bridge and we see these kind of blankets, this white covering? What is that for?
Because of the EPA stuff that nowadays we all deal with, when we remove the old paint, it has to be caught and it has to be vacuumed up and it has to be hauled off. And so they put those tarps on there to keep the lead dust in, which is, we all know, very toxic. And then they vacuum all the abrasive they use to remove the old coatings up and haul it off. And then also when you drive by on your car, you don't want bridge paint all over it. So those tarps help to keep us from putting bridge paint all over your car when we're doing it.
So those kind of blankets, they're really containment blankets.
Exactly.
For the old paint.
Right.
Okay, that you're taking off. And then when I was watching these men walking around on this black netting, what is that?
That is the access for the upper portion of the steel on the top. And so what they've done is they've run cables up there, and then on the very upper part of the bridge, they run that netting, and the guys can walk along up there and get to all the different areas they need to get to paint. And that's mostly on just strictly the top.
It looks a little terrifying, actually, Aaron.
It takes a little bit to get used to, I can tell you that.
I guess that everyone who's working on the bridge right now, these 35 or 40 people, you can't have fear of heights if you're doing that.
You know, I guess that we have some guys that are working up there that have a little bit of a problem with heights. And so they go up there, and you can tell who they are right away. But they go up there, and, you know, most of the times they get used to it, you know, they're okay with a little bit of heights, but when they get way up there, it just takes a little bit to get used to.
And I've noticed that there are ladders, and we talked a little bit about do they eat lunch right up there?
No.
Or do they come down?
No, we eat lunch down on the road in the lane closure, and there's the reason we do that is because in those containments we're removing lead dust. And so, not in all the containments, but in one of them most of the time, there's contaminants, and you need to come down. You need to wash that stuff off your hands, because you can, by eating your food, or like if you're in there and guys that smoke, they can't smoke in there or nothing, because if they sit there, they get the lead dust in their mouth, and you know, then it's not good for you.
So you have to be really careful when you're up there. It's a really, I mean, I would think that there would be a lot of training that would go into, okay, you're going to be working on this bridge, and obviously I know that this is a project that was sent out to bid. The people who are working on it are experienced professionals, and one of the things that you've said when I've talked to you previously about this is that we should feel very good as a community because there are all of these check and balances in place, and checks and balances, and that things are... really, the quality is very high.
Yes, it is. That's what we're doing up there. My position up there is strictly to watch them, to make sure that they're doing their jobs right. They're following all the rules, and we're giving the people a good job.
And you were saying earlier that, for example, some of the things that you do, and I know that you're up there at like 5 in the morning, and it's a long day because you all cannot work in inclement weather. When it's raining or really gusting, cannot work. You have to, it really has to be a pretty still day for you to be there. And you mentioned that you have to make sure that the paint is going on at just the right temperature. How do you even know that?
Well, it doesn't have to be just the right temperature, but it can't be too cold, and there are certain conditions that the manufacturer who makes the paint says, hey, the paint has to be so many degrees above the dew point before you open it and you mix it, So we monitor that. It says, hey, the steel temperature has to be so many degrees above the dew point, meaning there can't be moisture on the steel is what that means, before you put it on. So we're up there measuring the conditions, you know, the weather conditions inside the containments, making sure that they have all the right conditions so that they can proceed and do their work that they need to do.
Aaron, when you're up on the bridge and you're with all of these other people, are they playing music, or that, you know, a typical construction site, you know, people are playing music, they're making sure. jokes and things like that. This feels a little different to me. It looks like everything is very, would appear to be somewhat serious. I mean, what is it like? What's it like up there?
Oh, it's, the guys have a good time. You know, we're up there, we're working hard though. It's hard work. And a lot of the guys like to sing. Yeah, I hear them down there singing. This is only my first week on the job, so. But a lot of them are Greek, and they like to sing. So I haven't figured out what they're saying yet, but they're down there singing in Greek, and it's kind of fun. I should record it and bring it in.
That's right. Actually, you were working on the north part of the bridge before.
Yes.
And so now you've just started in new capacity, and you said that there are three quality control inspectors on the entire bridge.
For the company that I work for, yeah, there's three of us currently, and I'm gonna guess that as they continue, there'll probably be more added.
And you actually become part of the crew in a way. I mean, you're not just standing around watching; you're actually going around and looking at things, and then perhaps even helping mix paint. And you're doing your hands on right now.
Yes, I am. I'm up there painting spots that got missed, or telling them that they missed the spots, and trying to help them, you know, understand, you know, there's certain things that they have to do up there, and so we monitor that and try to, you know, catch it as they're going along, so that we don't wind up with a whole area that we have to go back and fix because they didn't do what they were supposed to do in the process.
Now, Aaron, you live here in Astoria. Mm-hmm. However, you've just said that a lot of the men who are working on the bridge are Greek. Now, are they just here for this project? So they're just like renting houses for a few years here?
Yeah, some of them are renting houses, and the company, you know, gives them an allowance for the rent, and some of them are in motels. I think a lot of them are in motels. And I should mention too, because there might be some guys that might take it personal. There's a lot of Spanish people out there too. So there's a wide variety of different ethnic backgrounds in there, and so it's kind of neat.
I would think that everyone would be very skilled. I mean, you don't work on a giant bridge like this without having some experience on something somewhat similar, I would think, in the past. Terry Wilson has a question, too. He wanted to know, how high is the highest part of the South High Rise?
The South High Rise?
Yeah.
I believe I heard that it's 296 feet from the peak to the ground or the water. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I heard something along that.
It's a fur piece up there.
It's up there, yeah.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we are speaking with Aaron Whiting. Aaron is a quality control inspector for the contractors who are doing the bridge work on the Astoria-Megler Bridge, and those contractors would be Intec and Bridges R Us. And so Aaron's job every day when there's good weather is to be up on the bridge, making sure that the paint is being put on properly and that the rivets are being put on in the way that they're supposed to be. I mean, I think you have to sandblast things first, or?
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's the first step of the whole process besides building the containments and the access, you know, that you see up there is to get up there and remove all the old paint.
So step number one is remove the old paint.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, so do you work in sections? Like, okay, here's a section, we're going to remove the old paint. Or do you remove the old paint on all of it, and then you do this phase two, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. Now, lately we've been real lucky because we've had real good weather. So they can go up there and they can blast for 3 days and leave it and not have to worry. But now that when we start getting into the colder, wetter weather, they won't be able to leave it because it'll get wet and then it'll start rusting again, and they'll have to go back and reblast everything. So They have to, if they leave the steel uncoated, they have to have good weather, and they can't have it start turning rusty again, or they won't be able to paint it. So what we do is, a lot of times when we start getting into our bad weather that we have here, is they blast for half a day or however many hours, you know, they can, maybe 2/3 of a day, and then they send a crew in and they prime it with a zinc primer to hold it and keep it from rusting right away. Blow it all down and then put paint on it so it doesn't turn, and that keeps the work from being lost.
That's good. And what about dryers? Do you have like big, any kind of dryers that you can just blast something a small section maybe to dry it, or?
They use heaters in like on the north end, we used heaters in when it got colder and stuff. And they do in the trade use dehumidification systems, but it's not practical on a bridge project. So, but they're the weather takes it's a big factor here for them when they're blasting. They've got to, if it's damp, it'll turn rusty right away. It'll start rusting, so they need to put paint on it as soon as possible.
So you all are working. I mean, wasn't there some night work too? I think you were working at night for at some point.
Yep, they do some night work, and a lot of times that's another reason they know there's rain coming the next day or something. So they got all this steel sitting up there that they blasted all day long, and if they don't put paint on it, the next day they're going to come and it's going to be all rusty, so they'll have to re-blast it. So they're a lot of times they're forced to stay up there late as possible to get, you know, what they need to do done.
So during a rainstorm or any kind of high wind, no one will be on the bridge. You can't do that. You actually have to take the blankets down, the containment blankets?
It depends on how much. I mean, if it's a really bad storm, yeah, high winds, I don't know exactly what the limit is, but I think it's something like 30 miles an hour. Tarps have to come down. And we can withstand a little light rain, you know, so we can be up there as long as it's not too bad. We can work if, you know, the tarps will keep a little bit of moisture out. But if it's a pour down rain, yeah, it starts leaking and we can't paint in it. The steel has to be dry.
I'd like to give people a few more facts about the bridge, because I think it's really fascinating. Right now, Terry Wilson, they're saying that there are 7,100 cars every day. They're saying that the daily traffic load is 7,100 cars. There are 171 piers in the water, and the bridge can withstand 150 mile an hour winds. Did you know that?
No, but boy, our hurricane in 2007, that was pushing it.
That's true, it was. So this is a really important bridge, which was built in 19, let's see, well, the ferry service, actually, which you rode the ferry quite a bit, Terry Wilson. You rode the ferry, and that began in 1926. And then the Oregon Department of Transportation purchased the ferry service in 1946. In 26 it began, 46 they purchased it. But then the bridge itself was, construction began on the bridge on November 5, 1962. And it was finished 4 years later. And people used to say it was a bridge to nowhere, but that didn't turn out to be the case, did it?
Well, the road to Nacelle wasn't there. I mean, the road that you can turn right off the bridge and go to Nacelle, the road ended where the ferry terminal was. That was it.
Oh, I see.
See, Terry has all of this history that we can learn from him about this. I have a question too, Aaron, and that is, why is it that even though the bridge itself was built by the state of Washington and the state of Oregon, it is the Oregon Department of Transportation who maintains, they're the entity which maintains this particular bridge, the Astoria Megler Bridge?
The way I understand it, and this is just what I've heard, is that they share management responsibility. Well, they share the cost. We all know they share the money part of it. But the actual management of the work, starting here in Astoria, Oregon has a responsibility of managing all the maintenance on the bridge. And then it alternates to Washington at Longview, and then so on as you go upriver.
So they just alternate bridges.
They alternate the responsibility.
I see. That makes a lot of sense, actually. What are some of the things that you think people perhaps don't realize about what's going on the bridge?
I guess, I don't know. I guess It's just it's work that has to be done. You know, the steel won't just sit there and last forever. You know, so if you just leave it sit there in our climate on the coast, it's gonna deteriorate and it's gonna fall apart. So you gotta maintain it and take the old paint off of it. And then, like I mentioned before, we're putting a sacrificial coating on there to keep it, try to save, what we can up there. And it's a lot cheaper to paint it now than try to rebuild a new one.
That's the same thing that they do to the hulls of ships.
Yes, it is.
It's sacrificial paint.
I've never heard the term sacrificial paint.
The paint sloughs off. And it is destroyed rather than the steel that's underneath the paint.
Because it's not porous or something? I mean, because I'm not sure how that works, but I love the term.
It's basically, it's even a lot of, this is a good way a lot of people around here will relate to it. On a boat motor, they put a little teeny thing on there that's like a zinc bar or something on the motor. They bolt it on there. And it's what they call it, it's a sacrificial anode. And what the reason they put it on your boat motor is to keep the aluminum from corroding. So it gives itself up instead of the metal of the motor. And so it's kind of interesting, but that's basically it's cathodic protection. And I don't want to go into all that, but that's basically what it is. The metal is the more active metal gives itself up to protect the least active metals. So, and that's kind of a whole story, but we'll just leave it at that. That's kind of
it's fascinating. I mean, for I'm sure that we could talk a lot more about that, but I have a question, and that is the Astoria Megler Bridge, we know it's a unique bridge. It's iconic. It's an iconic structure here for the North Coast. Are other bridges built in the same way today now, or is this an older style of bridge, the way that it was constructed? Are there kind of new things now that are happening? Or?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot newer things happening in the bridge building department. A lot of the bridges down in California that we painted when I was a young guy with when my dad was first introduced me into the trade, have been replaced with concrete now. Because it lasts and it doesn't corrode and fall apart like steel, so it's concrete will outlast steel a lot longer, and so it's just there's a lot better ideas instead of steel bridges.
Oh, but this is such a beautiful steel bridge.
I have a question: are they still building bridges with rivets?
No, that's a thing of the past, from what I understand.
My next question is, you are replacing some rivets, is that right?
We are replacing rivets, but not with rivets.
That was my question.
That's right, good.
We are using a special, high, strength bolt and nut in the holes where the rivets used to be. But I actually heard, and I don't know if it's true, but that this was the last bridge that they actually used the rivet trade on as far as putting hot, I guess it was quite the trade, to put them rivets in. They were steam, like red hot, and the whole way they went about it was pretty fascinating. So
what do you like the most about your work, Aaron?
I'm just grateful to have a job, I guess the one good thing about it is that it's we're just out there trying to save our infrastructure and give you something safe to drive across.
It sounds like you're working with good people who are really, really want to do the right thing, and Oregon Department of Transportation and Washington working together. And I know there are local people involved in the project. You obviously come from this, from your family. Sure. So it's a really vital and necessary thing that's happening. And I know that you all also are working on noise containment, that you're only doing the noisiest work between 11 and 4 during that part of the day.
Right. yeah, they have some restrictions on that. I guess they, you know, I guess a lot of people heard, you know, they did testing to figure out what kind of activities they could do without, you know, disturbing the peace as least as possible. I guess the rivet replacement is I think the thing that they determined had to be done between the hours that you just mentioned because of the noise.
Right. That would be the loudest thing. Obviously, painting isn't very loud, although I suppose you need some sort of a generator. Do you have lights up there? Do you need special lights up there?
A lot of our equipment is air powered. A big majority of it. All of our climbers that we ride up there to go up the side of the, when we get inside the containments, and our compressor, you know, we have a compressor up there, a great big couple compressors that run most of everything. The paint pumps that we use to spray with are all air powered. So it's almost all of our equipment, except for our generators, are air powered.
Are you all wearing like hard hats and belts, and are you fastened to things so that nobody will fall?
Every single one of us is up there wearing our safety gear and, you know, trying to, once in a while you might find a guy, you know, out there on the edge a little bit, but for the most part, we're all up there wearing harnesses. We are all wearing harnesses and our safety gear. It's very important.
So you feel like it's, even though it could be, it's a hard job and it's dangerous. On many different levels, you don't want to fall and slip, but you do have safety built in.
Oh yeah, yep. That's actually probably the biggest factor in this work is safety nowadays. You know, everybody wants to go home. So
that's right.
I mean, it's not like the old days, you know, where you can just get away with stuff. You know, people. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into the safety that we're up there doing, you know, so, and the state does a good job of monitoring that too. You know, there's people up there watching that stuff.
That's great. Well, Terry, unless you have anything else, we are almost at the end of the program. Aaron, is there anything else you'd like to say about the Astoria Megler Bridge work? If people want to get more information, you can go to the ODOT website, Oregon Department of Transportation, and you can type in Astoria Megler Bridge work, and they'll tell you a little bit more information. Anything, any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know about it?
Thanks for having me on. We're just up there trying to save your bridge. That's all.
I know, and everybody's really interested. What are they doing up there? Where do they have lunch? And how do they have to climb up those ladders all the time?
You know, to be honest with you, it's kind of a neat last fact up there is the company that I work for is they're very generous. They deliver lunch to us every single day. You might get McDonald's, you might get burritos from the taco wagon down at the car wash, or you never know what they're going to bring, but there's always a lunch delivered to us, which is kind of nice.
Well, we want to keep your strength up, but since you're way up there on the bridge. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thanks
for all the hard
me.
Work that you're doing. Really appreciate it. And Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, thank you so much for all that you do. And I want to also recognize local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life. Focus on feeling good. Focus on those good things. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.